Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is May 15, 2018. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. I will turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I love to see this weather getting warmer and just, you know, things starting to green up. How beautiful it is out. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. You can visit us on the web at prospectccf.com, or our phone number is 740-494-2222. Our service times are 9:30 is Sunday school on Sunday morning. 10:30 is worship service. We have evening Bible study at 6:30, along with youth group at 6:30, and a midweek service also. We'd love to serve any needs that you have and love you to come visit us, see us. We're a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. This is a call-in show, and I hope we get some calls coming in tonight. Usually I talk so much no one can squeeze a call in, but if you do, just keep it light. It's a family-friendly show, and we don't take calls that aren't light. So that's just the way that is. It's a we all get along, right? Okay. Yeah, there we go. Hey, you know, this particular show tonight, I want to leave some room for anyone to call in that has any kind of questions that maybe I can field for them that maybe not even relate to the show. But just something you've been thinking about, I'd be glad to take the question. But you know, it's funny this time of year, a lot of things are going on. Last night, the school that my grandchildren, well, most of my grandchildren go to, or maybe it's half now, they're moving around on me. But anyway, my kids go to Elgin, and they had their academic awards last night. And well, amazing to see the amount of kids that got academic awards from outside of the school. I think there were 81 kids getting awards. It's amazing, just wonderful. And it's good to see young people, and when they're out there doing their best and doing what they can and with the opportunities they've had. We're getting towards the end of the school year, and times change a little bit when we do. Well, first of all, one thing I know that has changed is we made it through that primary. And you know what? The commercials have slowed down. Thank the Lord for that. I'm sure they'll be gearing back up real soon, but right now they've slowed down a little bit. And you know what? We had that primary, and as heated as some things got prior to the primary, the world didn't end the next day either. And I'm just thrilled to death about that. And I want to challenge everyone out there with the fall elections coming up, though, whatever side of the political equation you're on, to educate yourself. Look into those candidates, look into those issues, see what they really support and who they are. And, you know, I think that we owe it to ourselves to do that, because many times we get people in office and think, oh, no, well, how did we get them in office? Well, it's pretty simple. We voted for them. And so it's a good idea to educate ourselves on what's really going on with the issues. Anyone can say anything, right? You know, like I'm sitting here tonight and I'm looking over at Terry. And Terry is about 6'7". He's got bright red hair, and he's always got a frown on his face. Now, I can tell you that over radio, and in your mind's eye, that's what you're picturing. Well, to be honest with you, Terry has dark hair and not much of it, and he's not 6'7"
and
very, very thin. Yeah. But the point is, he's just a good-looking guy. Now, you can do whatever with your mind's eye you want with that. But the point is that when you hear things and you don't know facts, you can form opinions. So we have to be careful. And I think sometimes this is something we're looking at with the church. I want to talk a little bit about some opinions tonight. You know, Dan Brown wrote a book that was called The Da Vinci Code. Remember that? And he wrote it. It was a novel. But he wrote it as if it were a factual piece of history in the design in which he wrote it. And, of course, people read the book. People saw the movie. Was there? I think there was a movie, wasn't there? Yeah, there was a movie. And anyway, it was really funny. About a year later, I was in a bank, and I was talking to a guy. And I said, hey, you ought to stop in and see us in church sometime. He goes, I kind of got my own opinion about religion. You know, you know, I know. I said, well, what do you believe? And without realizing what he was doing, he starts quoting the Da Vinci Code to me and the ideals put across there. So the thing we don't even realize sometimes, we pick up our opinions from all over the place. And what was hilarious is some of it was so far off base of even factual stuff that we know. We know that one of the very, very early historians was Josephus. And Josephus was not a disciple, he wasn't an apostle, but he was a scholar. And so much of the Bible has been supported by Josephus and others of the time also. So we have to look at the Bible and look at the factual basis for it also. I would encourage people to do that. I think when it comes to today, when people want to have the argument between creation and evolution, another argument out there, a lot of times people, because they've heard one side or the other, that's where they go. And I would encourage people, now I'm a creationist, I would encourage people to also look deeply into that. You know, I was telling someone one day, I said, you need to take a group of kids and go down to the Creation Museum down by Cincinnati and go through that thing, because it's amazing. These are all scientists that put it together. A lot of times people think that science is not on the side of the Bible. Well, these were all scientists that put it together. Many scientists are. It's not popular for scientists to do that today because they can be really ostracized for doing that. But the truth is that these are scientists that did it. And a person said to me, well, you know, I don't want to take a bunch of kids there and have them. What if it's just propaganda? Well, let's look at the other side of the coin. What if you're a creationist and the only education you're getting is evolution? Is that fair either? I mean, honestly, if we're going to have open debate with our children, shouldn't they hear both sides of it? Shouldn't everyone, shouldn't even adults hear both sides? And, you know, that's one of the hard things about only creation being taught in the schools, too, is they're getting one side of it. And people say, well, I'm not going to give my kids any reason to believe anything. I'm going to let them, when they become adults, they can believe what they will. The problem with that, unless you show them both sides, they've only heard one side. Because in the public forum, that is all they're going to hear. So did you ever even give the other side a chance? Their opinions are formed, everything they've heard. And it's real interesting, Terry, in a lot of areas, when you start talking about opinion with people, whether it's creation, whether it's social issues, whether it's just all types of things. When you start talking about people's opinions, there's only about, I would bet, 5% of people's opinions are based on any factual stuff they've actually looked up or really researched or thought about. Most people's opinions are formed by what they've heard, not what they've investigated. Wow, isn't that something? You know, somebody that was very good at that, and that was the a lot of the fascist and communist governments of our days past were very good at making sure their people would only hear one side of, and they knew that we could indoctrinate them that way. Well, and let's be honest. I mean, there's been indoctrination in a lot of areas. Look at the people, for instance, that were at Jonestown. You remember that horrible tragedy at Jonestown? You know, a lot of those people that were there and drank the Kool-Aids, literally drank the Kool-Aid and gave it to their kids, some of them were very intelligent people, very professional people, but they had been professionally indoctrinated.
Well, one that comes to mind, too, is the Waco, David Koresh.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, too, with David Koresh.
Yeah.
People doing all kinds. But, you know, here's what happens a lot of times. And Bible will tell us this, too, that in different places and in different ways, that evil will succeed by taking a little bit of truth and adding it to a lie. You understand what I mean? Now, it ultimately will never succeed because God wins in the end. God does win. But if I say you have a real problem with any particular issue, I'm trying to think of one that would just pop out at you. an issue that people struggle with. Divorce. You have a real problem with you have a husband that treated you wrong and was abusive and rotten, and you really want to take a stand against empowering women to not deal with that. Great cause, right? Truly is. Okay, someone comes along and say they want to, they have an agenda that's a little bit different. Their agenda is that they just despise men, period. Well, maybe this isn't the best example, but anyway, they bring you in as initially up front, you're thinking, we're going to support women that have been abused. When they bring you into that, but then the agenda, the whole is much different. It's just like, that's why I say you have to look at things, even in a political party. We have too many one-issue voters. I really believe that. And if someone can hit that hot button issue that is going to, and that's what they try to do, is hit that hot button issue that are going to get people to the polls. And people will run to the polls because of that one hot button issue when they didn't even look at the candidate in the backgrounds. And a lot of times, it's even, we run into that with churches and the struggles that we have with churches. Someone will say, oh man, that church's music is fantastic. Okay. What else they got? What's their teaching? What's their doctrine? What's their outreach? Are they caring for people outside of the church? You know, you got to ask those questions. You know, are they teaching the truth? Or is it just good music? So you would say, oh, they've got great kids programs. Wonderful. Who's teaching your kids? What are they teaching your kids? You see what I mean? What other kids are there? You see where I'm at with that? And a lot of times, you know, people will go to a church based on one little thing or this one, and they don't stop to think and look back and say, well, what does this church believe? You know, when you go to visit a church, I think one of the first things you need to say is, could I see your statement of faith? Most churches have those on hand. We do. They're nice little printed threefold things. And you can basically open and read our statement of faith or what we believe so that you're not blindsided down the road. You know what we believe going in. And you know about, and when you go to a church, there needs, or even any organization you get involved with, you know, do you have an open door policy when it comes to questions? You know, who do I go to if I'm concerned about A, B, or C? You know, if my kid is going to an event, who's in charge? Do you have a central person that I can go to that looks over all these things? All these kind of questions. It's only fair to ask. I know that in our particular culture, people are leery. It's really odd. People are leery of the church and what it might do. But they will dump their kids right into the world and not really worry about what's going on, you know. I'm not going to send my kid to that church. They might be weird, but I'll let them go to the mall and run around with their friends for 5 hours. You see what I'm talking about? Well, maybe the churches, it's up to us to take personal responsibility for our children, for our own lives. Be investigative people. I know that we're busy and it's hard to. Don't you think so? It's hard to take the time. You ever get to a place where you need something fixed in your house and you just say, oh, just call a number, you know, rather than checking out, you know, who's the best one? You know, how many people ever actually go online to look at Better Business Bureau ratings and those kind of things? Most people don't. But maybe we should. Maybe we need to look a little more into the things that we do every day. I think we're just getting too busy, Terry. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we are. We're running all over the place. I know I am. And my reasoning probably, you know, we can all rationalize why we do it. You know, my reasoning is I've got a lot that I want to do to reach people and help people with their lives. And sometimes it gets me so busy, I've got to, you know, back up and say, no, wait a minute, Steve. Are you taking care of things at home? Are you taking care of things in the church? Are you being a grandfather? Or are you just being a indoor, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to be that way, but you know, we're in a time when we really have got to pay attention. It doesn't matter whether it's politics. It doesn't matter whether it's the church. It doesn't matter whether it's clubs that we belong to. A big one is, where are your kids tonight? And I ask you, parents out there, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, where are those kids tonight? I'm going over to so-and-so's house. Well, who is he? Who's his parents? What do they believe? And maybe we need to check them out a little bit, too. I mean, it's really important.
Along that line, maybe it ties in with it, maybe it doesn't. Let me know if you don't think it does. But do you think that, like, as the year progresses, the school year progresses, that we get a little more lax as far as people going over, like, their house? I mean, as far as, like you say, not checking maybe, or is that a big concern? Or should, I know we should do it from day one, but I mean.
You know where I see the biggest problem? Is not that, because, you know, as the school year goes on, you know, it goes on. Once you have certain friends, you know, you may initially check them out, but you don't later on in the school year. It's an automatic, yeah, you can go. But I think that what parents need to watch is that friend, that maybe one friend when sixth grade may be a completely different friend in 10th grade. You see what I mean? It seems to be a real fork in the road in middle school. All kids are kind of on an equal level in elementary. You know, you got, you know, some troubled kids and you got some bright kids and you've got just a whole mix. But everyone kind of gets along in a way. And but you hit middle school and kids start to develop and pick choices. And there really seems to be a change in pattern. Like you'll have one group of kids start heading maybe a little bit down an edgy path. And another group of kids that kind of band together and want to go a good path. And you have your sports kids. Some are blends of the other. But that's when middle school is when it really starts to shape out. And sometimes some of the kids that were best friends in elementary school, by the time they hit high school, they don't even talk anymore. You know, they've changed that much. But I think it's up to parents to stay on top of that, not the school teacher. Now, I do encourage the school to let parents know what's going on. And I think most of them do. And if they're not, and if you go to them and say, hey, look, I'm an involved parent. I want to know if my child is running with the wrong crowd, or, you know, drop me a line and say, hey, just keep your eyes open. You don't have to mention names, but maybe you need to keep a better, you know, and parents give the teachers a break. You know, they're trying to help you with your kids. They don't want your kids to be bad kids. They care for your kids. It's also a reflection on how they do is a reflection on them. It's a reflection on the school. And but I think that we need to have our eyes open just a little bit more than we probably do. I recently ran into a situation. I'll give you an example. There was a young lady that was starting to hang around some kids that she probably shouldn't. And when it was brought to the parents' attention, this has been a few years back, brought to a parent's attention, oh, no, that's not her. She wouldn't do that, you know, and, you know, you're just whatever. And they let it go. Well, things over the last few years have progressed, and all of a sudden parents find out this child is a drug addict. This is a true story. And they're not a child anymore. And the problem is, back when they were first told and warned, they should have opened their eyes. And at least, even if you wanted to defend, and you will defend your child, initially, it only stands to reason that maybe you better say, I better keep an eye, a little closer eye on what's going on with my child. Because this kid was on a steady path down this path, and they had just, you know, turned a blind eye to it. And now all of a sudden, you've got this young person, and there is nothing more heart-wrenching on a family and the person even that's addicted than being an addict. I mean, you want to quit. Addicts don't want to be addicts. You know, they want to quit, but they can't because they're addicts. And they you know, what happens in the family? I mean, people say, how can you steal from your grandmother? It's real easy. Become an addict. That's how you steal from your grandmother. This, you know, happens every day. You know, we hear all the time of people taking their lives, losing their lives over this stuff. It doesn't happen overnight, folks. You know, the day that, you know, when a kid wakes up in jail or an adult wakes up in jail and they're going to do it a long term in jail for whatever reason it is, they didn't go from being a great kid in school one day to the next day being in jail. It's a regression. And I think we have to look at that regression and look at some ways to stop it. Now, one thing I'd like to do is kind of give you some ideas on ways to stop it and just some thoughts out there. And I'll begin with a real simple one. Bring your kids to church. get involved in their lives. You know, when families, I'll say this, and this is just an honest truth. When you look at families that are involved with their children, that raise their children in church, the success level of those students as adults is unbelievably higher. Now, I'm not saying just send them. I'm not saying go there once a week and be a big hypocrite about it and just show up to show up. I'm not saying, you know, just bob in and bob out. I mean, you can't really say that you raise your kids in church if you take them there for an hour a week. Think about that. An hour a week. I raised my kids in church. When, where, and how? And the truth is, churches have a lot going on. It's like anything else. You got to plug in. You know, you've got a job. If you don't plug in, you lose your job. If you go out for sports and you only show up for the game, they're not going to play you. You know? You know, and whatever it is, you know, you have to get plugged in. And when you go to church, you need to get plugged in, or you lose interest, or you feel like other people, or you feel like other people are experiencing more than you, or are closer than you. Or I've heard a lot of people say sometimes, I just don't feel like I'm part of the group. It's because you're not. You're not even making an attempt to be part of it. People are reaching out to you, but you're not reciprocating. You know, I'm not going to go to anyone's house and drag them out of their house and drag them to church. We have men's breakfast first. And anybody's, hey, by the way, if you want to come to this, it's a great time. Third Friday. No. Friday. What am I talking about? Last Saturday of every month is men's breakfast at our church. And it's at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's just a bunch of dumb guys. Us, we're dumb men, that's right. Dumb guys getting together and cooking breakfast, having a great time. I give like somebody gives like a 5-minute, you know, talk, a little devotion maybe, and we talk and we share ideas and we bounce each other off the of men. We've got single men there, we got married men, we got old men, young men, teenagers, kids. And then like this Saturday, which will be the third Saturday of the month, is women's breakfast. Of course, they don't start till 9. And that's because us men have to cook for them. So we take a little more time. But it's the same thing. And the point is, there's something you can plug into. Now, I can invite someone coming to the church to that. But if they don't show up, I can't do anything about that. And we can invite them to all kinds of things. You know, our Wednesday night Bible studies are great. People have an opportunity to sit down and say, you know, I've been thinking about this, or how do you feel about this, or I don't believe this, or why do you believe that? And it's no one's condemned. It's an open discussion. And our Sunday nights are a lot that way, too. But you got to come. You know, we got great youth group people that love young people. They were fun-loving kids themselves. They're not going to take you out and make you do something boring that you don't like. You're going to have fun. But you got to be there, and you got to be plugged in. But so many times you'll hear people say, well, you know, my neighbor kids, or we were raised in church, and look at us. Really think about what you're saying when you say, I was raised in church. Another one that I hear a lot of times that is not real factual is people will say, well, we were forced to go to church, so now we don't go. Really? Is that the case? That's not why you're not going. That's the excuse that you're using. The truth is, you were forced to go to all the practices for softball and baseball, but you didn't start hating sports, did you? You see my point? We force our children to do things all the time. And I hear parents say, you made the obligation to do it, now you're sticking to it, right? Why is it the church is the only one that gets the bad rap, that you can't force them to go or they won't go? Because it's an excuse, and it's an easy excuse. I got to tell you something, Terry. I had no choice to go to church, but to go to church. I had to go. And as a young adult, I went through a rebellious period. Most young people do, to be quite honest, to some degree. Some of us are worse than others. But the point is, because of that time that I spent in church, and because of the teaching and what I got, because of the relationship that I had formed with God, I knew that that's ultimately where I needed to be And that's where I ended up back at. And that's usually what happens with people that are truly involved. I went to school with a lot of kids, and most of the kids that I went to school with, or church with, I mean to say, that their parents were very, very involved in the church. And those kids had to be there. And it's really interesting. When I look back on those kids today as we're all older, I couldn't have said this in our 20s or maybe even our 30s. But now that we're all older and I get reconnected with most of those people, most of them are in church and you know, they go back. But they got to be there. They got to know what it is. What is so wrong with teaching good values that you don't want your kids in church or you in church? I mean, a lot of times I know people are afraid. Well, I don't want to. Every time I go there every week, that pastor says something. I know he's talking directly to me, right? You've heard, you know, you hear that. Or, you know, that pastor's preaching at me every time I'm there. No, he's not. He's preaching what the Word of God says. And if it applies to you, take it, chew on it, and think about it. You know what I mean? Is this an area of my life I need to address? Don't blame the poor pastor. He's just up there doing what he's supposed to do. He's teaching from the Word of God. It's not the pastor you're mad at. It's really God you're mad at, and it's what is being taught through the Word of God. If the pastor's teaching from the Word of God, as he should, and not, you know, something else. But that's why I think most people leave. It's not because of what the church is doing. It's because of what they're hearing and what they don't want to do differently. A lot of times people come to church in crisis. Somebody's really sick. They've lost their job. They're down on money. They're down on their luck. That's the first thing. That's when they'll come to church. And then as soon as things get better, they leave. You know, the problem, Terry, is this, is that church does nothing for you as a building and as a place to go. The Bible calls for life change. For us to come and give our lives to Christ and follow those biblical principles that are out there. And if a person does that, that's when you see the healing begin. That's when you see insecurities go away. That's when you see anger go away, bitterness. That's when you see sadness go away. It's when you see people start having hope. It's when they plug into what the Bible says. You see what I mean? And that's what they have to start doing. But they can never do that if they just bob in and bob out. And one of the hard things, too, is a lot of people, because of the computer age that we're in, oh, I can just stay home and find somebody I like on the TV or the computer. That's fine and dandy. The Bible tells us that we are not to forsake ourselves, the assembling together. And the reason being, we need each other. We really do. You know, part of our problem that we're having with young people today is there's not as much personal contact as there is social media contact. And there needs to be. But in churches, you get to know people. I can honestly say that one thing I love about our church is it's a church that people know each other, they care about each other, and they love each other. Now, you may decide that you don't want to be part of that and storm out. That's your right, and that's fine with you. But we're going to be a church of people that are going to try to meet your needs, both personally and spiritually. And it's not just a place to come and get excited and sing and get a feel-good on. And, well, I've done my penance for the week or my joy for the week, and I'm out the door and go right back to who I was. If that's what a person has in mind, we're probably not the church to be there. Because when you're preaching from the Word of God, when you're teaching from the Word of God, it is going to hit those hot buttons. It is going to have you examine your life. What am I really doing with my life? Did God have a plan for my life? Of course He did. Well, what is that plan? How can I know that plan? Well, it's to draw closer to Him so you can see who He designed you to be. And that's where the satisfaction comes out of it. But, you know, if you look at the problems in our world today, you know, well, if you look at, let's look at the United States of America. And you can see, if you were to put this on a graph, you can see as in the 20th century up through the 21st century as we're in, as you see church attendance decline, you see societal problems increase. Would you agree? Now, some people say they have no relation to each other at all. I find it awfully funny that it's a fact that percentage-wise, it's just as one decreases, the other one increases. I mean, we didn't used to lock our doors on our homes at night. Nobody did. Did we? We didn't lock our cars. You know, we didn't have, we certainly didn't have the drug problem we have. The highest rate of alcoholism. The divorce rate, prime example. I mean, divorce rate, it used to be odd. When I was growing up as a kid, there might be one or two kids in the class that maybe parents, now you're an oddball if they haven't been. And I feel for people that have been divorced. It's hard to go through. And by no means am I disparaging you at all. I'm just saying that you know, as we learn the values that are important in the Christian values you're brought up with, one of them is perseverance. You know, patience, long-suffering, you know, those fruits of the Spirit, loveness, kindness, joy, peace. Those are the things that make marriages last. They're the things that make families work. How many families sit around a kitchen table anymore? You know what I mean? They don't, do they? Not very often. How many times do families say, you know, today's Sunday, this is a day that we stay together as a family. We go to church. You know, we'll do something midday if you want, but, you know, we're going back Sunday evening. Sunday evening church is gone. We're one of the few churches around that still holds Sunday evening service. And I don't know if that's because the bullheadedness of the pastor or or the fact that it's just something. Sunday should be a day when we celebrate God and spend that time in whatever way we can with the body of Christ, the people of the church, lifting each other up, helping each other with our kids, not zip in and zip out and go get hurry up and get busy because we got somewhere to be. You know, we got to be to the mall. We got to go here. I wish they would have never done away with blue laws, the laws that said everything was closed on Sunday. Because regardless, it's real interesting, Terry, as so many of God's laws in the Bible, they find today socially why they're important. For instance, you know, God said on the seventh day you'll rest. Any good doctor will tell you, you need to stop for a day and have a day of rest if you're going to be healthy. Right? When that was written, there weren't any doctors that would tell you that. God knew it. We need a day of rest. In Genesis, on the seventh day, what did he do? God rested. And we need that day of rest, but we go. And then we wonder why we're all bouncing off the walls. There's no family unity. Our kids don't stay around. Our kids move here, move there, no connection to family. They just bolt and go because we've lost our cohesiveness. And our cohesiveness is grounded and founded in the church and has been. You know, you expect to see family there, expect to see people there. If there's someone that didn't there, the first thing I'm thinking, are they okay? Wonder why they're not here. You know, I miss them. I truly do. And everyone, then another argument they get. Here's another church argument. All they want is your money. Well, here's the deal. And I've said this many times over. If you are in a church that every Sunday stand up there and tell you all the needs and how you need to give to this and you need to give to that, go find another church. I gave our money issues in the church to the Lord a long time ago. Now, granted, be honest with you, something pops up. Say, I'll give you a good example. We needed money. We wanted to send a lot of kids to camp this year that couldn't afford it. And all of our camp is paid for. Not one of our kids is paying for their camp this year because of people's giving. Nobody beat on the pulpit. Nobody did anything like that. But I said, I put the need out there. You know, if you'd like to give to the kids' camp fund, please do. Sometimes, a couple weeks ago, a family ran into a really bad situation where they were taken advantage of by, believe it or not, by a scam. And I brought it before the church. I didn't tell them who the family was. I just said there's a member of the church that is going through a very difficult time at the moment. Can we have a special offering for that person? I didn't tell them, we're passing the plate again, you didn't give enough, whatever. I said, whatever on your heart, you do. Those things will pop up. We are encouraged to give back to God. God gives to us. Everything I have is because God gives me the ability to earn it. You know, yeah, I may get out and work for it, but he gives me these hands and this health to do it. And I think, you know, if the church is going to function, it's got to have funds to function. But, you know, when churches get up there constantly, are pumping these huge salaries into people, and all this stuff that's not necessary to worship and praise God, and they're constantly up there just hitting you harder and harder to keep bleeding that machine, I think they're off base. I truly do. I do not see in Scripture anywhere where that happened at all. I know that you know, Paul's third missionary journey, one of them was to go and get money from the churches and support some different things. But we don't see this constant hounding for people constantly and constantly and constantly. And I just think that, you know, pay attention. You know, the pastor's one of you. My thought has always been on a pastor's salary. It probably should be about the median income of the church. Why not, right? Isn't he just one of them? So whatever the median income should probably be his salary. He shouldn't be out there making all the money in a poor church. He shouldn't be out there, you know. You see where I'm at with this, Terry? And I think that it damages the church many times. But we're not about money. We need money to function. Because that's society and how. Hey, I'll just as soon barter if someone wants to do it. But the point is that, you know, we need to look at what the church really is. You need to find a church that is truly what the church says the church is, and you need to make sure that you're comfortable there. It's something that you can sink your teeth into. They're not putting on airs, or they're not whatever. And you need to investigate so many things in our lives. I guess if I was to come back to one thing, I'd have to say this. We need to be proactive in every part of our life if we're going to succeed in life, and if our families are going to be successful. We need to be proactive with our children, with our education, with our church, with our families, with everything that we do, with our job. You know, be on the leading front. Get up front and get it done. Make sure you got a hold of it. You know, don't be always coming up the rear and having to take whatever drops in your lap. And I think too many times we do that. What do you think? We're about out of time.
I mean, that's a pretty good analogy for it, you know. But I was going to ask you, too, you know, to think of what you're talking about. Like from a money standpoint, do you think that that's when a lot of skepticism comes in a church, when people think that all they're doing is that, or they see a lot of people getting this money out of there? You see what I mean?
Well, I think that there is, and I think that we need to make sure there's not a basis and a grounds for that within the church. But I also think, just like the thing of being forced to go to church, I think many times it's a cop-out and excuse not to go to church. You know, the church is either forcing me to do this, or always yelling at me, or wanting my money, or, come on, guys, let's be real. Sports drains your pocket. Coaches yell down your throat. You got to, all these things that really happen, and you don't stop going. The bottom line is, the reason people don't come to church is because they want total control of their own lives and rarely want to hand it over to a creator. God wants control of our life, and they don't want to submit to the control of God in their life. And that's the key in what it comes back to. And you're not fooling me, anybody. You know, you're not fooling God. You see what I mean? That's what it comes back to. We want control. How dare they tell me I got to do it? How dare God tell me that I can't do what I feel like doing? And the point is, if you allow your heart to be changed, what you feel like doing will be what he wants you to do, and you'll be happy and it'll all be good. You know, there was a time in my life when I couldn't imagine living the way I am today and being happy at it. I thought, man, this is going to be an uphill battle. I'm never going to be happy. Because I spent my years doing exactly what the world does, depending on things to make me feel good. You know, things you buy, things you do on the weekend, you know, and you know, to think of doing something different didn't jive. But I realized that, you know, I have more fun now than I've ever had. I got peace with myself. Boy, isn't that something we strive for? who wouldn't want to have peace with themselves? But that peace can only come through a relationship with Christ and doing what you're supposed to do. I think every man is born with a void that they need to fill. And that void is Jesus Christ. And they've tried to fill it with everything else. And sometimes when they hit rock bottom, at the bottom of the barrel, they finally go, oh yeah, I bet I was supposed to fill that with God. You know, I've had people tell me that in their last days. You know, I've always known that God wanted something with my life, but I would refuse to. A sad deal. But you know, I'm one for hope. You know, we got a society that one-on-one, each person at a time, Terry, you do what you're supposed to do, I do what I'm supposed to do, we can win this thing. We can bring this thing around. We can love and reach out to people. Show kids you love them that don't get love. They're out there. People that have fallen down and made a mistake, let them know that's okay. You know, you don't think any worse of them. Just, hey, let's help you get on your feet. You know, let's teach them how to fish so they can catch some fish. You know what I mean? Let's welcome them in the churches. You know, those kind of things. Find a place where they fit. You know, there's places for everyone to fit. Sometimes they won't fit in your church. I know I'm about out of time. I just had a man come to my church a few months ago, come to our church, and came forward and wanted to accept Jesus Christ in his life. And I knew that he wouldn't work at our church because they lived in down by Mount Sterling. I got on the phone, found a buddy of mine there that I really trust and great guy. I hooked the two of them up. A few weeks later, he was there and got baptized. His family's plugged in. He's bringing another family and loving it. See, they don't always fit in my church or your church. We just find, if we care about them, it's just as important to find that place as keep them in our own. So we down to 2 minutes, Terry. Well, boy, that time went quick.
It flew by today.
I think we're going to have real soon, we're going to have David Whitaker on, who happens to be my brother that's in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan. He has a book series called the Cameron Kale Series. They're a series of mystery novels, and we're going to have him on probably, you know, on the phone long distance and talk about his book and promote that. I want to get some books in first so we can promote that and give away a few on the air.
Sure.
So we'll be doing that soon and a lot of different things. But look, if you have any questions, call in. If you wanted to call in today and miss your opportunity, I gave you the church's number at 740-494-2222. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you guys. We're at 209 East Water Street.
And don't forget, we're going to replay this tomorrow.
Yeah, we replay this tomorrow at 3:15 is when it'll come on. And please, if you want to hear it again, fire it back up, bring a friend in, and remember, we'll also be back again next week and maybe even be finding some new slots.
And your service dates or service times?
Service times are 10:30 in the morning for church, 9:30 Sunday school if you bring your kids. And if you want your kids picked up for church and you're in the relative area to Prospect, let me know so we can get those kids picked up and love to have them there. We have great leaders. All of our people are background checked, by the way. And that's just the world we live, but they love kids and they're good people. And hey, I'll see you guys later. Have a blessed night.